Good morning, Deep Rivers Church. Good morning. It is a good morning. I don't know if any of you were up really early this morning, but there was this incredible mist. And if you happened to walk outside before the sun came up, you could see the moon, and it was just this mist and this fog. It was incredible. God is at work creating beauty even when we sleep. It's an amazing thing. We're really glad that you're here today, especially because there were some people. How many of you guys went to the Art Fest yesterday? We did too. And you end up seeing a lot of people that you know. We did. And it seemed like, you know, you stop and you're like, hey, how are you? How have you been? How's your week? And a lot of people were like, it's just a hard week. It's just a hard week. And we had a hard week too. And if that was you, I just want to encourage you. God's up to something. I think he's up to something when a lot of people are experiencing the same thing. I don't know what he wants to do, but I'm in. I'm in. If he wants to do some change, he wants to help us to see who we are, I'm in. This is from the Passion Translation. God of heaven's armies, you find so much beauty in your people. They are like lovely sanctuaries of your presence. We are carriers of the presence of God. Wherever we go, no matter how hard a week we might have had, God, your wraparound presence is our defense. In your kindness, I thank you that you look upon the faces of your anointed ones. And our faces look to you, God, this morning. And they are radiant, and we will never be put to shame. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to invite Holy Spirit to come minister to us as we minister to him. We minister to him. His presence comes. His presence is always here. He is omnipresent. But we are asking this morning for God to give a tangible expression of his presence among us today, in and through us today. God, we acknowledge our need before you. And I just ask that which we need. God, would you fill our hands? Would you fill our hearts? Would you fill our mouths with praise back to you, God? We know that there is healing when we praise you, God. There is something that lifts up off of us in the name of Jesus when we praise you, God. So give us a song in our heart. Well up that song in our heart, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Thanks, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be known in your presence, Lord. Oh God, in your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, I've tasted, I've have tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, oh, we love you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Oh, come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, we love you. Oh, let us be aware. Oh, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good. One more time. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
God, we love you, Jesus. It's your glory that we are after. He says, for just one day, this is Psalm 84 again, for just one day of intimacy with you, it's like 1,000 days of joy rolled into one. My friend Jenna was praying for us, and she said, joy is an evangelist. Joy draws us to Jesus, draws us to one another who are the carrier of his presence, joy. I'd rather stand at the threshold in front of the gate beautiful, ready to go in and worship my God, than to live my life without you, God, anywhere else. What an amazing thing that we get to be called sons and daughters of the Most High King, and we get to be in your presence. We get to. Thank you, Lord. Because you have made a place for us, God, we can rest. We can rest. We've been in this 21-day fast. And there are some significant things that a lot of us are praying for. Huge things, big things. I just want to encourage you, if you look at prayer as seeds that you're planting, sometimes it takes. So what do we do? What do you do while you wait? What do you do while you wait for those things to come to pass, especially if you've been given a word from God, you've prayed in obedience? What do you do while you wait? You remind yourself of who God is, what he has said, and what he has done. He is faithful. He has been faithful to you in the past. So think on those things that he has already done for you. And we start with salvation. If you don't know him yet, oh my goodness, what he wants to open up for you. What he wants to open up for you. We remember his faithfulness in the past. We remember that he is faithful today. And we remember and we look ahead to his faithfulness in the future. We speak to ourselves. We speak truth to ourselves. Speaking truth to ourselves is powerful. And that's what we're going to do with this next song. Waiting for change to come, but knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness, I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
I know the night won't last, and your will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Me within your love, my heart will sing your praise again. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your.
We declare God's faithfulness in the past, right now, and in the future. We sing this by faith. We sing this. We've seen Him. We've seen Him move. I've seen You move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see You do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see You do it again. Oh, I've seen You move. You've moved the mountains, and I believe I'll see You do it. Still stands. Great is Your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in Your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Oh, great is Your faithfulness, faithfulness. You've never failed me yet, and I never will forget. You've never failed, I never will forget. Lord, You've never failed. We praise You in the desert. We praise You in the springs of water. God, we praise You in the hard and in the good. You are worthy of all of our praise. It's all for you, Jesus. Let your fire fall. We thank you, Jesus, that we are carriers of your presence. We thank you, God, that we get to come before you and we get to be loved by you. We get to be called by name to you, Jesus. And I thank you that joy is an evangelist, God, and the joy that we carry because we are known by you, we are seen by you, we are loved by you, God, that has to be contagious. God, open our mouths, open our hearts to see those around us, Father, that need your encouraging word. God, and give us the boldness and the courage to speak it out. God, you love us so much. Thank you. We love you. You are worthy of all of our praise, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, you guys can have a seat. Man, let what's dead come to life, right? So that's our testimony. Most of us here, that's our testimony. If that's not your testimony this morning, man, we'd love to talk to you more about that. Let the dead come to life. Excited to see everyone here this morning. Let me see. I got a few things to run down here. The first thing I want to like to let you morning over to River House, and it's two things going on three times a month. That's going deeper into God's Word and going deeper into prayer. So we invite you, encourage you to come. Details are here behind me. There's probably some details as well in the centerpieces of your tables and on the carts behind you there. Now, in those same spots, centerpieces and the carts behind you are connect cards. If you're new with us this morning, we'd love for you to fill one of those out. And afterwards, you can take it out to the welcome table, which is the first thing that you saw when you entered the doors out here. And you can take a gift home with you this morning. I'm just kind of saying thanks and encourage you this week. And again, we hope to see you back next week as well. Giving. We'd love for you guys to partner with us in giving. You can do that this morning by dropping your offering in the box on the way out there. We can also do that online at deeprivers.church and even on your phone. What you need to do is text the number 84321, 84321, and then some prompts will come up on your phone. Communion table. Communion table is over here on the right, my right. We just welcome you to self-administer communion. There's some simple instructions to follow over there. If that's not something you've done, no problem at all. I'm actually going to be hanging out over there. If you're curious about that or if you have questions, I'll kind of be over there in the five-minute break time here. Would love to talk to you. Would love to walk you through that as well. As well, over in that same area is prayer. After the service, if you're feeling the Spirit tugging on your heart for any reason this morning, we would love to gather around you in prayer. All right, kids, it's time to go. Kids, tell me which way you go. This way? No, this way. This way. For the rest of us, you can grab some coffee, say hi if you see anyone new, and just greet people this morning. We'll see you back here in 5 minutes.
To the cross I cling, of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior.
Well, good morning. Grab your last cup of coffee and find a spot. Hopefully you had a chance to say hello to somebody. I want to show you a couple things that came in the mail this week to our house. I don't know how many of you get The Sun, which is one of the local papers, comes out every Thursday. And on the front page of The Sun, right here, you will see a little advertisement for the Deep Rivers Church. Come celebrate our one-year anniversary. Suitable for framing. I got to get my laminator fixed. I had a laminator. I used to laminate stuff, and then it broke, so... But that's not the only thing that came in the mail this week. Just yesterday, one of these bad boys arrived. So I don't know if you live in the borough or close by, you might get one. Sorry, we can't send one to all of South Central Pennsylvania. So you might have got one if you did. That'd be great. If you didn't, well, you know what's going on because you're here. So, but I would like to take a moment to pray for... the ad that's in the paper and the postcard that went out. And in fact, a couple Sundays ago, we prayed for the school and the kids who would be sitting in your seats tomorrow, the postcards and then the ads in the paper, that people will see those and the Spirit would use them, use those ads, that the Spirit would use the postcards. Some of you are here because of the postcard last fall. And so it's just ink and paper, but if we pray, then the ink and the paper can become something that the Holy Spirit can use to awaken a need in people. It's not about getting more people here. It's about helping people experience more. There is more. And for folks who are just not engaged in the church this morning, we'd like them to see that postcard and just sense a draw to come next week to celebrate and for them to just get a little sip of what more might look like. So I would like us to take a moment to pray, not just for next week, In fact, I'm going to say nobody can pray for next Sunday. We're going to pray for the people that are getting those postcards. That's what we're praying for this morning. And they're people. They're not projects. I want to be clear. They're people that need to experience more, more of God's love. People just chasing after all kinds of stuff, not walking in peace, not walking in joy. Use us to usher into people's lives. So let's just take a moment. And like I said, I'm going to open up the floor. And if you feel led, just take a moment to please pray, a short moment, just to please pray for the Holy Spirit to use, whether it's the ad in the paper or a postcard, not just to get people here, but to answer the more questions. So let's just jump on in. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to pray for the people in our community. People, we pray because we are a prayer-dependent church, and so when we meet here in this place, we pray, and your word says the church is a house of prayer. We want to worship, we want to fellowship, we want to learn, but we also want to be a church. We want to be a people who pray. So this morning, we ask for you to do what we cannot, and that is impact hearts and impact minds. We can only be used by you in that endeavor. So please do what we could never do. Amen. I'm really looking forward to next week. We're having a big picnic afterwards. So if you're here and you're interested, please consider bringing a side salad or a dessert. It's going to be a great, great time. And I'd ask you to pray throughout the week for it. In fact, we still have a ton of postcards if you want to invite somebody. We have postcards out at the table. It'd be great to kind of get the word out best we can. So, well, let me start off our time this morning by planting an unpleasant image in your head, all right? Here's the unpleasant image I want you to imagine in your head. A running old lady. Why would an old lady be running? It doesn't seem like a very pleasant image, does it? If there's a running old lady, that means something has gone terribly wrong and they're running from a tragedy, or there's been an Elvis sighting and some diehard Elvis lady has found out that Elvis is still around. So it's not a pleasant thought to think of a running old lady, but it is actually our third three-word phrase that we have been talking about this month. We are encouraging everybody to fast from something for 21 days. So if you're just joining us, you're lucky. You only have to fast for 7 days. So there's 7 days left until the 21st or 22nd when we'll end up our fast. And there's three phrases. I hope that you can remember them. Maybe next year I'll ask you, do you remember the three phrases? So the first phrase was not just food. When we encourage you to fast, we automatically think, oh, he means stop eating. Well, you can fast from anything. I'm fasting from the car radio. That's one of the things that I'm setting aside for a little while. And I gave somebody a ride home from church yesterday, and just to be a smart aleck, I was, hey, can we turn on the car radio? You know, trying to trip me up. So that was the first three-word phrase, not just food. Not just food. When you fast, it doesn't have to be just food. And the second three-word phrase was for, not from. Your heart and your mindset. If you decide to dedicate some time for prayer, you're fasting for something. That is your focus. Not from. Don't think about what you're giving up. You think about what you're fasting for. Okay? Not just food, for, not from, and running old ladies. Now, the running old ladies is what we're going to explain this morning. And because there's two passages in Scripture that we're going to look at that I think will help understand the running old ladies concept. This morning, we're going to talk about two words that are not warm, fuzzy words. Next week, maybe we'll have a ton of visitors. This would not be the sermon to preach when you have a ton of visitors, because we're going to talk about discipline and perseverance. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word discipline, but me, I think of the first Rocky movie where Rocky would get up in the morning, he would drink like raw egg and then boxing, and that was like the discipline, you know, to get up and to do something like that. So when you hear the word discipline, I don't know if you have an image like that or something else. And then the other word is perseverance. Perseverance. I Googled stories of perseverance, and there are tons of amazing stories of people who have persevered in something. The gentleman who wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul series was turned down, I think, I can't remember, I should have wrote down the number, a couple hundred times. Nobody wanted to print up his books. Eventually, he found a small publisher in Florida. He had a publisher, they dropped him, or they had an agent that dropped him, I can't remember. But he persevered, and his book got published, and then, I don't know, millions and millions and millions of copies of the series have been sold. Starbucks, Howard Schultz was one of the guys who helped get Starbucks up and running. I think he wanted to buy out his partners. I'm not so sure about how this played out, but he went to the bank to get a loan. And I think it was 200 some times he got turned down, which is hard to imagine. But there was a perseverance. And I think if you talk to anybody who's been successful in business, they'll tell you that there's an element of perseverance in that. So this morning, and how this phrase, running old ladies, relates to all of this. So the first one is the story of, is the issue of discipline. If we're going to be a people who put aside something for 21 days or 7 days, it's going to take some discipline. And this is what 1 Corinthians 9 has to say. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things they do to receive the perishable wealth, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And the second passage is on perseverance. And this is a parable that Jesus told in Luke 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, "Nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" I think if you put these two passages together, it says that we're supposed to be running. We are running a race. Whether you know it or not, you are running a race. And we are supposed to be imitating the parable of the persistent widow. So I hate to tell you this, but in some respects, you are to be a running old lady. And maybe that phrase will help you remember these two truths of being somebody who exercises some discipline and somebody who perseveres. Running recognizes that our race is evidence. It verifies our lives. Our race does not earn our righteousness and salvation. And it'd be easy to look at that passage and say, "I've got to earn God's favor by running the race well." And that goes contrary to the core of the gospel message, that your salvation is a gift. You don't run your race well to earn God's favor. You run your race well as evidence that God is at work. Your life is not an experience without lasting consequences. Think about that. Your life is not an experience without lasting consequences. Your life has eternal consequences. Your life matters because it impacts people for all eternity. Your life, your race, has the opportunity to... So some of us don't recognize our life as a race. Maybe we're just trying to survive. Maybe we're just ambling our way through. But there's something to be said, as Paul says, to run the race hard, not to earn God's favor, but just to be used by him and to prove to the world the grace that is on you. Your life matters because it impacts people for all eternity. Your life is not practice for heaven. In fact, in some ways you could say your life is a timed race. We are not here just to practice for heaven. We're here to live our lives as an example of what God can do. It's a proving ground. Our lives are a proving ground where we demonstrate who we are, that we are holy, that we're other-centered, that we have a heart for those who don't know God, that we run our race in a way to prove who we trust. We are a people who walk in peace and reassurance because of the character of God. So we run our race to show who we are and who we trust. And it's more than that. We run our race to demonstrate what we cherish. We hold on to the temporal things of this world loosely with an open hand. So the question this morning is, how are you running your race in these three areas? And we're going to explore that in our closing questions at the end of the morning. But our race, not to earn God's favor, but to be evidence, to show a verification in our lives of who we are, who we trust, and what we cherish. So we should run hard, again, as an evidence of who we are. Make no mistake, your life is not about proving your strength, but it's about proving in whose strength you really trust and rely on, yours or God's. And certainly there is a mentality of buckle up, suck it up, you can do it. I remember one time when I was really laid out with some disappointments in life, and I said to Nicole, oh, I wish I was stronger. Basically, I was saying, I wish I could handle this better. And she said, no, that's exactly where God wants you to be. Because I was not able to do this on my own strength anymore. God laid me out, so I had to depend on him in new ways. Running your race is not about showing your strength. Running your race is about embracing your weakness. Running your race is depending on God's strength. 1 Corinthians 12 says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, I am strong. Again, run the race. Make the most out of every opportunity, but don't think your race is an opportunity to show your strength. It's not. Your life is not about growing or proving your intelligence, but about showing the power of God's grace to show you truth. Paul's message was, he said it was not wise and with persuasive words, but with the Spirit's power. And your life, good choices. It's about demonstrating how Christ in us gives us the chance to reflect him to a lost world. The two brightest things in the sky are obviously the sun. And the sun is the source of light, obviously, in the middle of the day or anytime throughout the day, you're going to see the sun. But at night, what is the brightest source of light? It's obviously the moon. The moon has no source of light. The moon merely reflects the sun. I want to encourage us to be a moon and not a sun. As you run your race, there's going to be a temptation to be the source of strength, to be the source of running the race. Your job is not to be the source. Your job is to simply reflect. Be the moon. Reflect to the world what Christ is doing in you. And maybe that means embracing your weakness. But running your race is not about trying harder. I want to say giving up, but in some respects there is a measure of giving up. It's simply reflecting. Let God do the work in you. Run your race well, but run it as a reflection. The words grace and race, they're very close, obviously. You stick the G on top of the word race and you get grace. Grace and race, they're close, but they're very opposite. Grace is a gift, and race is a contending, obviously an effort, a trying, and maybe a striving even. But here's an important sentence. In fact, if I was Jesus, I would preface this sentence by saying, truly, truly, when you're reading through the Gospels, and somebody says truly, truly, or verily, verily, it means you need to pay attention because there's something important coming. And this is what the sentence is. This is the phrase. In this race, grace is not added by the way you run. Grace is verified by the way you run. We're told to discipline yourself and run well, not to box the air, but to run to win the prize. In this race, grace is not added by the way you run. You don't get more grace if you run better than somebody else. But grace is verified by the way that you run. God's grace on your life is verified. It's proven by how you run. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked," and in parentheses you could think, "I ran, I fought, I worked, I ran, I fought harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." When we run our race well, it gives opportunity for God's grace to be shown in our life more and more and more. Paul's running did not nullify the purpose of grace. It verified the power of grace. I heard someone say, and I used to have a sticker on my old laptop, but it said this, "Harvest is about grace, not effort." So we've had Deep Rivers Church up and running for a year. Next year it'll be a year. And how have I prayed and how have I worked? Obviously, we would love to see a harvest. We want to see more and more people come to the point where they recognize that there is more. And obviously, I need to work hard, and people who come and help set up and tear down, and there's effort in everything that needs to get done. But the harvest, whatever the harvest of Deep Rivers Church is, it's not about effort. It's about grace. And like we prayed about, there's only so much we can do. We can send postcard after postcard after postcard. Whatever good things come from those postcards, and I look out and I see some good things that are sitting here this morning because of the postcards we sent out last year. But whatever good things the postcards do, whatever harvest they give, it's only because of God's grace. So as we run our race as a church, or as you run your race as an individual, yeah, we need to run hard, but it's all about grace. Just gives him a chance to verify his grace. If you ever think about this, a farmer can't grow anything. A farmer doesn't get up in the morning, look out at his fields, and say, "Grow. I command you to grow." A farmer can only do a few things. A farmer can plant. Farmer can provide an atmosphere, whether it's water or weed killer or whatever it is. The farmer can protect, but a farmer can't grow anything. All the farmer can do is those three things. And at the end, by God's grace, they will harvest and they will reap. Now, you might not think of yourself as a farmer, but in many ways, our lives are. It's all about grace and not our own effort. Your life, your race, again, it's a proving ground for whether faith is alive or faith is dead. It's a proving ground for who you trust. So we got the running part. Now we get to the old lady part. The parable of the persistent widow, to be honest, it's probably once there's a church out in Annville. Nicole and I and our family went there for a while before we planted here, and Jimmy's been a great mentor to us, and he tells a story. At one time, Jimmy was working for a builder, a contractor, and I think they were building new homes. I don't know the specifics of the story, but once in a while, somebody would buy a new home or in the process of building a home say, "You know what, I'd really like to have a bathroom down in the basement." But if the basement floor had already been poured, that meant they had to go in there and kind of do some work to make the basement floor acceptable for a bathroom. And that meant getting out a big concrete saw and cutting a big square in the concrete so they could put the plumbing in. And Jimmy tells a story about going down there, and a nice square was cut. And then Jimmy's like, what do you do now? You got the square cut, the concrete's still in there. And Jimmy tells the story about watching somebody or hearing about it, but all you have to do is take a sledgehammer and start pounding that concrete. And as ludicrous as that sounds, take a sledgehammer out to the sidewalk and just start pounding away on it. And not much is going to happen. With that sledgehammer, something happens. I don't know if it's on a molecular level or what. But Jimmy says eventually that concrete just, it shatters. You don't think of prayer as swinging a sledgehammer, but maybe we should. You could take that sledgehammer, you could hit the concrete 3, 4, 5, 10 times and not see any difference, and then throw the sledgehammer down in disgust and say it didn't work. What did the parable of the persistent widow show? The persistent widow knew how to swing a sledgehammer over and over and over again. We should be running, old ladies. We should run our race well, and we should be imitators of the widow and not give up. I think, you know, why do we give up? Whether it's a New Year's resolution, you know, whatever promise, whatever goal we have for ourselves, why do the best intentions and strong starts often fizzle? Why do we not persevere in prayer? Sometimes it tends to be a question of focus. Again, that idea, you're fasting for something, not from something. Don't focus on what you're giving up. Focus on what you want to see God do. I think lots of times we give up because our focus is on the circumstances. And obviously pain and discomfort are huge motivators for us. But I want to encourage all of us not to focus on the circumstances. A lot of people said, I'm going to fast from food. I've done it many, many times. And then about lunchtime, all of a sudden, wow, really, am I going to do this? Because we focus on our circumstances. So try not to focus on your circumstance. Another reason I think why we don't always persevere is that we focus on the climate. And I'm not talking about the weather. It's easy to feel that you're the only one endeavoring in something. And if you wanted to do a fast all by yourself, it's tough. And that's why we want to encourage people to do it together. That's why we're doing it together as a church, encouraging people to give up something. Your environment is huge. The climate that you're in, it can impact us like you wouldn't believe. I realized this week that here's an odd quiz for you. What do waiters, defensive backs, and people who pray all have in common? A waiter. When I was in seminary, I was a waiter, technically a server, at Red Lobster in Gurnee, Illinois. A defensive back is somebody who plays on the football field, either as a cornerback or a safety. And then somebody who prays. What do all three of these people need to have in common? Here's the answer. A short memory. When I was waiting tables, if I got a bad tip on my first table, it was easy to carry a bad attitude over to the second table. And next thing you know, your night started to cascade. The dominoes were falling. If I got a good tip on my first table, it had the opposite effect. But if I see servers all the time, they'd get a bad start to the night, and then they would just start grousing, and then their night just got worse and worse and worse. And a defensive back or a cornerback for a touchdown, they're going to make a play on the ball, or they're going to get juked, or something's going to happen, or they're just going to get beat out on the ball. And a touchdown or a long play is going to happen, and technically they're going to be responsible for it. But what makes a good football player is that they don't let getting beat once impact them or affect them. They keep going. They have to have a short memory, or you're not going to be a very good football player, because then you're going to be tentative and you're going to be scared. And the same for us, people who pray. We need to have some short memories. We can't focus on the things that haven't happened. We just need to keep pounding the concrete. Keep pounding the concrete. Keep pounding the concrete over and over and over again. We focus on our circumstances. We focus on the climate around us. We talked earlier this year about being a thermostat instead of a thermometer. A thermometer just reports the temperature. If I had a thermometer, I could put it up and I could say it's, you know, 74 degrees in this room. But we want to be a, you go to the thermostat and you can adjust the temperature. We're people who are supposed to be praying to change the climate around us, not report it, but to change it. So there's another challenge, to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. I think we lose our perseverance because we focus on our circumstances, we focus on the climate, we don't try to change the climate, we just kind of complain about the climate. And the thing is, we don't focus on the character of God. And what did the widow focus on? The judge or her righteous cause? And I think if she would have focused on the judge, she would have said, oh, forget about it. He's a bad dude. He's never going to help me. But she didn't focus on the judge. She focused on her righteous cause. So what does Jesus say? What does Jesus want us to focus on? The judge? Yes. Jesus does want us to focus on the judge. The parable of the persistent widow, she didn't focus on the judge because he was no good. How much more so are we to focus on the judge? Because our judge is good, us. So we can continue to pound the concrete because we do have a righteous judge. Does Jesus want us to focus on the cause? I think yes. He wants to focus on the goodness of God and our righteous cause. Now, if your righteous cause is a winning lottery ticket, pound the concrete all day long, year after year after year, and that concrete's not going to break. God doesn't want you to win the lottery. The comfort of a lottery winning is a curse and not a blessing. That's just something that feeds our flesh. But if your cause is righteous, keep pounding the concrete. So our challenge is, in some ways, to be forgetful, to not give up, to change the climate, not just to complain, but to change, and to be God-focused and not problem-focused. If you'd stand with me this morning, we'll ask God a few questions, trusting he might reveal anything to us that we might need. And I do want to encourage you, if there's something we can pray for this morning, we'd love to pray with you in just a moment over on this side of the room. So the first few, in your race, again, you might not recognize that you're in a race. You might watch the Olympics and think those are the only people running. But your life is a race. In your race, how are you doing demonstrating who you are? You are holy. If you have asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, you are forgiven. You are righteous in his sight. You are pure and holy. How are you doing demonstrating who you are to the world around you? In your race, how are you doing demonstrating who you trust? This morning, we should be people of rest. We need to be people who trust God and rest. If you want to be a witness to the world, be a person of rest. So how are you doing demonstrating who you trust? In your race, how are you doing demonstrating what you cherish? It'd be easy to look at these three questions and say, I'm not doing very good at any of those. I'm not here to beat you up, because I don't always do well in these. But the question is, what can you do to get a little bit better in showing the world who you are, what you trust, and what you cherish? And are you willing to let God do that for you instead of just trying harder? And then the questions about perseverance. How are you doing swinging your sledgehammer? Bounced off the concrete a few times. When you're tempted to quit, is it because you're focused on your circumstances? It just seems too big. Are you focused on the climate around you? It's not easy to be persistent. You're going against the flow with that kind of faith. We want to be a church of expectation. That's one of my biggest hopes for Deep Rivers Church, that we be a church of expectation. And if we can create a climate of expectation, we're going to pray differently. So we pray that God would create that climate. But does the climate around you discourage you? Maybe there's some things you could do to change your climate. I think swinging your sledgehammer, the best thing that we can do is to focus on the character of God. It always comes back to the character of God. Do you truly believe that God is good? Do you truly believe? And again, the assumption is because we're at a church service on a Sunday morning, that everybody's come to that place of faith. That could be a dangerous assumption to make. So if you're here this morning, you honestly say, I don't know if I've ever asked Christ into my life. I don't know if I've ever asked him to forgive me of my sins. Or if I've done it in the past, it was just words. It wasn't lived out in my heart. This morning's an amazing opportunity to quit trying and just open up your hands to receive a gift that God has for you. If that's you, please come talk to me or come pray. Mark it on the card. Do whatever you want. Just let us know. That's kind of where you're at. Father, in closing, we might not ever be a people who get up before the sun and go for a run like Rocky. We might not ever be a people that discipline our bodies to be fine-tuned athletes. But we do ask for your Holy Spirit to empower us with a discipline to say no to the things of the world, and a heartfelt desire to pursue more of you. So help us in that. That is our heart's desire. And while we all might not turn out to be world-class athletes because we disciplined ourselves in some persevere, we can all be people like the persistent widow. We can all be people who never stop pounding the concrete. Help us to persevere. Help us to be persistent. Help us to be people who change. Change ourselves, have an influence and an impact on the lives around us and our family and our friends, to even change the world. Show us how to do that. And then be at work in us not to quit. Quitting is easy, because we've all done it, but to persevere, that's a work that you need to do in us. Father, in closing, we thank you for the grace that is on all of us. We talked about grace at the beginning. We run this race because of grace, not to earn it. That when our lives are over, years and years and years from now, people will be able to look and say, God's grace was on that person, and they ran their race well. That is our hope, and that is our prayer, and let it start today. Let it start tomorrow when the alarm goes off. Help us to run well. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us this morning. It's great to have you. And again, if there's anything on your heart that you'd like to pray about, or if there's something that touched you, please meet us over by the prayer banner. We'd love to pray with you this morning. Thank you.